Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Not since the original publication of Think and Grow Rich in 1937 has there been a book that can revolutionize how an ordinary individual can manifest abundance, wealth, and happiness in every aspect of life. So that should perk your ears up. The Lost Secret by today's special guest, Monica Main, provides both a distillation of key components of Think and Grow Rich and what Napoleon Hill and manifestation experts believe are the two lost chapters that were intended to be part of the 1937 edition. Monica believes that these two chapters were intentionally deleted by the Ralston Society, the original publisher, for being too advanced for readers of that era. These two chapters prove insights into the nature of vibrational manifestation in alignment with present-day quantum physics that would have seemed ungrounded speculation in 1937. Monica Main is a serial entrepreneur with over 20 years of real-world experience in all types of businesses and investments. She has used unconventional wealth attraction techniques to leverage her massive success. Having grown up in the Chicago suburbs in the 70s and 80s, adhering to the spiritual philosophy of Kriya Yoga, a Hindu-based form of wisdom, she was able to blend these teachings with those of forward thinkers such as Napoleon Hill. So Monica has an incredible story, and these lost chapters are absolutely incredible. So let's get started because I have a lot to talk to her about. Welcome, Monica. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Randy, for having me on the show.
Oh, you are. It is my pleasure. Thank you for being my guest. So, Monica, what led the story that led up to you finding this book is very interesting. But I first wanted to start with your background and the adversity that you experienced. So that everyone understands that we can rise from the ashes of our life.
Well, I was a poor girl that grew up in the Midwest and didn't really know how poor I was until I started to kind of realize when I was around 9, 10, 11 that I just didn't really have the basic needs that I thought should be met, you know, in comparison to my friends at that time. And so, you know, when I first saw Think and Grow Rich, it was actually my grandfather's copy. It was I was just under 10 years old at that time, and I found the copy in a closet in his art room that he had had. And so I was really intrigued by the title, Think and Grow Rich. I thought to my nine, almost 10-year-old self at the time, is it really possible to think and grow rich? And I was really excited about that prospect because I didn't really have much, didn't know how to get more. I was really young and developing at that time, and so I was really intrigued and excited about this. But my excitement vanished quickly when I started to read the work of Napoleon Hill, which is not only a dry read for an adult, but it's impossible for a nine-year-old. So I had to put the book down, but I was still always intrigued by the concept of thinking to grow rich.
And you had some setbacks in your life. You went through three divorces, a short stint in federal prison, bankruptcy, 2-year civil lawsuit with the government. You went through a lot of things, and you had to claw your way to the top of
I
your
did.
Career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the disadvantage of starting in business at too young of an age without enough education, I mean, remember, they don't teach this stuff in school. So you come out into the world wanting to be an entrepreneur and not realizing what to do, and so you just do the best you can. And unfortunately, I made a lot of errors early on that, you know, of course, in hindsight, you know, everything's 20/20, right? So my first business I started as a teenager, and I became too successful too quickly, and I just did not handle the business building aspects properly, which is why I ended up in prison the first time. And so that's unfortunately the disadvantage of not being educated, not coming up in a family that's able to educate you with entrepreneurship and investing. And so, and by the way, I have to mention, it just really bothers me that they keep that type of information purposely withheld out of public school. Intentionally. They do that intentionally. You know, I don't know if you're familiar, but the school system was developed by Rockefeller, you know, with the sole intent of keeping people impoverished, keeping people compliant, you know, on a schedule to ultimately work in a factory one day for probably one of his multi-million dollar or billion dollar businesses. So they don't teach that kind of stuff intentionally in school. And so, you know, I made a lot of mistakes very early on, but it's better to make the mistakes early than later, right?
That's true. It is. And that's really interesting, what you just said. I never knew that. That's a very interesting point of trivia.
Yes.
So you say, and also Napoleon Hill said, but we're going to get into him in a little while, but you say when we consistently raise our vibrational energies to a high enough level, we become the transmitting beam to thousands, if not millions, of inspirational thoughts that we can convert into currency here and now. So what do you mean by that?
Okay, so what we have here is what Napoleon Hill would refer to as the world of the seen and the world of the unseen. And so there's so many other things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't simply see. Like, for example, you know, when we feel the wind on our face, we don't really see it, but we know it's there, right? And
right.
So he has this idea, at least the way he presented it in chapter 17, one of the two chapters that was eliminated from the original Think and Grow Rich, is that there's so much that we don't see, but yet is a reality. And so our thoughts, the very first sentence in the book Think and Grow Rich in chapter 1 is this: thoughts are things. And so he kind of ties that really nicely together in the very end, where what you think about actually does manifest into something based on your energy levels. And so, for example, when bad things are happening to us, like rape, murder, we get carjacked, something bad happens, it's because we're vibrating at such a low level, and thus we're attracting like a magnet those things in our life. And so his reveal in chapter 17 is that when you raise your vibrational energy, you obviously will attract the opposite, which is the high-level things that are vibrating at the very high level. And so you have to keep your energies up there as much as possible, as often as possible, however way you can keep them up as long as possible, so you can ultimately attract all the good things, you know, the prosperity, the awesome resources, you know, bumping into people that are nice to you. I mean, all of these things happen when you're vibrating at such a high level as often as you can.
So true. There was something that you said that really jumped out at me, and because it applies to what I do and to so many of the people that are listening to the show, a very empowering statement. You said this: we are all chosen. You beat tremendous odds just by being born and enjoying the body you're living in today. Billions of acts on many physical and ethereal levels had to occur for you to be born. Billions more had to occur for you to have made it where you are. I absolutely love that. And it's, you know, it's something, it's a philosophy that I have too, because it said that only the bravest souls come to Earth School. So,
right.
So those of us who are here have very important missions.
Right, that's absolutely
right.
Correct. Yes, no, I 100% agree with that. We all have a reason as to why we have to be here. We have a reason and a purpose why we decided to come here, because, yes, we did make a decision to come here. It wasn't some happenstance, random thing that took place. We made a choice. We may not remember that choice, but we made a choice. So the faster you can get to the core of why you came here, which was essentially your purpose that you decided before you came here, the better off and the more in sync in alignment you will be while you're here. So you won't feel like you're missing the mark or dissatisfied if you're on your aligned path of your purpose. So the idea here is to just get to that purpose however way you can. And the easiest way to do that is to obviously start to connect with what we call the source through that higher energy vibration.
Yeah, this is another, you said something else that is something that, you know, I truly believe in. And you talk about resisting. You say resistance to anything is how you can sink your dream ship pretty fast. It makes it difficult to create new beliefs and develop an inner knowing that good things will manifest if you've had enough life experiences that made you cynical, pessimistic, and negative. Resistance is something that really holds us back in life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, sometimes we have to resist, though, because it allows us to figure out the things that we don't want versus the things that we do want. So if you're finding yourself resistant to something, maybe it's resistant to that job that you hate. Maybe it's resistant to being with that person that you thought you wanted to be with your entire life. You know, maybe the resistance is a new door for you to open to say, hey, maybe this is not the right path because I don't feel so great about it anymore. Maybe it worked for me 10 years ago. It's not working anymore for me to grow as a spiritual being. So maybe now the resistance means let's now start to focus on what I'm not resistant against. See what I mean? And
yes.
So, you know, starting the process of changing your path, like instead of being miserable at your job, maybe start thinking about, okay, what would make me happy? What would make me fulfilled? And so it's only an indicator to open your heart, mind, body, and spirit to something better and different. So what, again, might have worked for you 10 years ago may not be part of your growth now.
Thank you for clarifying that. That makes perfect sense. Thank you. You say, you know, we're going to, as I said, we're going to get into the Napoleon Hill stuff, but there was just, I just pulled out some things that you said that I found very profound, and this is another one. You say, when I give money, I automatically place trust in the universe that there's much more to come, and I'm always right in that regard. More always comes. My abundance is never ending. So it's an attitude, you know, when you... So many of us believe that when we give, we're taking from ourselves. So how do you see that?
I see it differently because I see it as a never-ending supply for me. It's almost like a pitcher that doesn't have a bottom. And so you're pouring out of the pitcher, and the more you pour out, the more you end up getting it. I just view it a little differently, and it's just based on my experience. But you have to come to know that based on personal experience. And until you come to know that, unfortunately, you're not going to feel that way. So a lot of people that have, you know, a certain amount of money and they see someone standing on the side of the road that looks like they're down and out, they might not give the money that they their heart tells them to give because they think that there's a limit in their own personal supply. But I don't ever see a limitation because I know that money comes from all different directions, and the more I do give, the more I get, usually a thousandfold in many cases. And so I'm never worried. And so when you disconnect from that sense of worry and you embrace the natural never-ending abundance that is actually available to you just simply by turning the switch from feeling lack to that sense of deep knowing that God's got your back, the universe has got your back. And if you know that without just trying to logically think through it, but just having that deep sense of knowing, then that really does shift everything for you. Everything shifts the second you adopt that knowing.
Yeah, it's so important to talk to you about these things to give us all kind of a boost and set us into the right path of thinking. Because it's so easy in this life to get caught up in negativity. It's very easy.
Especially and now more than ever, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And we have to be, we cannot allow ourselves to sink into that. No matter what's going on, we cannot sink into negativity because all it does is produce more negativity and it keeps us from attaining the things that we wish we had. So it's a discipline that we must learn if we want to be successful, right?
Right, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
You tell a really interesting story about this dream you had about Steven Tyler from Aerosmith and the Nova.
Oh, my God, isn't that just amazing?
That's amazing. So tell us about that dream and tell us how it manifested in truth.
Well, it was an interesting dream. You know, I have a lot of very clear dreams that are kind of a movie-like quality, and a lot of them have a beginning, middle, end, a plot point, et cetera. But this particular one was different, and it's almost like you kind of reach into another realm that actually exists on another level. It's hard to explain. And a lot of people that actually have that connection know exactly what I mean. And so this was a dream like that where, you know, I was at his multi-million-dollar mansion, and he was doing this rock camp type of week thing where he was going to teach people how to be rock stars over a 7-day period. And I have zero interest in being a rock star. You know, that's just not my thing. So in the dream, I told him, you know, I'd like to see what your opening, you know, act is going to be in this 7-day camp. And then I'm going to leave and take a Disney cruise with my daughter. And then I'm going to come back at the end when you kind of wrap things up, because I just really am not interested in learning how to play a guitar, you know. So in the dream, he said, you know, since you're not going to be here for the interim of it, I'm just going to tell you what the secret of the universe is and how to gain access to all the creativity and endless amounts of, you know, wisdom and resources. And it's through something called the Nova. And he described the Nova as being this place that you reach into where, as long as you're aligned with your destiny and your purpose, you'll automatically be able to gain instant and direct access to this place called the Nova. And so I thought it was a really interesting, you know, dream, and I'm just like, is this for real? So I don't really know a lot about Steven Tyler personally. I mean, I obviously know about Aerosmith, and I was a fan of Aerosmith in the 90s in particular, but, you know, I didn't really know a lot about him personally. So I actually looked up a YouTube video interview of him talking about his, I guess, creative process and how he's actually able to create the massive amount of hit songs that he has over the years. And he actually talked about this place. He didn't call it the Nova, but he talked about this place he's able to access by just aligning through this deep sense of purpose and knowing that it's going to be there for him. And he's able to make all of these songs from scratch. And he actually used the word ether when he was describing his access to this place. And I was just completely floored and blown away, because remember, I had never seen an interview, never knew really much about him personally. And it was just, it just threw me on the floor when I saw that, because I just can't believe how in tune this whole dream was. Can you believe that?
No, that's incredible. But
it's,
you know,
amazing.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's great imagery for us to use to create this place that we can go to for our source of, you know, inspiration and everything. We all have it. It's just that we don't know how to tune into it. And when I write, I always tune into it, because that's where I get all the wisdom. You know, it's all
right.
there.
No, it is
and
all
I'm
there.
not.
And when I was writing The Lost Secret, I could tell you right now, Napoleon Hill was sitting right beside me, and a lot of the words that he probably wishes he could say in 2019 were flowing right through me. And he was there. He actually, I believe, wrote the vast majority of The Lost Secret, because I feel like I tapped directly into his spirit while I was writing the book.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. What a great feeling. And what a gift. So that leads me into the story about how you came to find out about the lost chapters. And that synchronicity is also very amazing.
It is. So I was at a business conference, and I was just starting to second guess everything that I was going through at that time. It was another marketing conference, and they were all starting to run together and look much the same from one to the next. And I was sitting at the bar after probably about 12 hours of being in conference. And to my right, about two bar stools to the right, was an old man. He had cloud white hair, and he was probably in his 80s at that time. And he was just sitting there quietly, and I had ordered a drink. And I was just kind of exhausted, didn't really want to carry on a conversation, but he just looked like a friendly face, and he just, I believe, was the one that broached open the conversation after I just nodded and said hi. And, you know, eventually we started talking about the publishing industry. Now, I think at that time he had taken great interest in the fact that I had self-published back then. I was self-publishing my own books. And that's when he started telling me about how he had a connection with the publishing industry. His stepdad worked for the Ralston Society back in the 30s, and he was actually the one that worked directly on Think and Grow Rich back in 1937. So I was actually kind of impressed that his stepdad had worked on that book personally. And then as the evening went on, he started to tell me that there were two chapters that were never published in the 1937 book or any subsequent editions thereafter of Think and Grow Rich. And so I started to actually have this sense like, well, maybe this guy is BSing me. Is this really true? And so after a while, I was just like, well, you know, I'm really tired. Here's my business card. I'd be more than happy to send you some of my free books. Just send me an email with your address. And I kind of left it at that. And so I never thought I'd ever hear from the guy again. And lo and behold, a short time later, he actually sent me an email, said, I'm going to mail these to you. I still didn't respond because I get about 200 emails a day, and unless it's a specific question, I'm not going to address it, so I just deleted the email. In about 4 to 6 weeks after that email, I actually did get a copy of the two lost chapters of Think and Grow Rich. It was amazing, but I still didn't believe that this could be true, but it looked like it could be true. I had no reason to doubt it. I mean, it would be kind of a complex hoax for somebody to meet me at a bar, a while later send me an email, and actually then go to the extent of sending me what looked like to be typewritten out from 1937, these lost pages, including some of the editorial notes that were in the perimeters of the pages. So it was interesting. I mean, my heart was racing when I first saw that. And I didn't know what to make of it. It's one of those moments in your life where all your brain wiring just starts to cross and you just don't know how to respond, you know? So that's how
what
I
do
came
I do
across
with this?
The two lost. Yeah, what do I do with this? Well, you know what's interesting is that in his note to me, he said, you'll know what to do with these.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, and I'm like thinking, okay, well, maybe he intended on publishing it. Maybe it's just too late because of his age now. Maybe he didn't want to deal with the potential legal repercussions with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. I don't know why he didn't publish it over the years. Maybe he just threw it in the drawer and forgot about it. I have no idea. But he decided that maybe I would be the one, probably based on my extensive past dealing with different legal issues, that I'd probably be the only one ballsy enough to actually publish a book. And he's right. I am, because, I mean, when you go up against the best, legally, it's like anybody else. It's just it's an ant on the picnic table, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been quite a process to go through. You know, as I'm reading the lost chapters, you know, I'm just going, oh, my gosh, who was this man, and where did he get this information? Because he was so far ahead of his time. He talks about transcending into higher vibrational states of being, and he talks about inspiration from infinite intelligence and summoning desires through the ether. this stuff, nobody in 1939 could have be. They would have thought he was insane. They would have put him in an asylum.
Right, but on the other hand, I also think that maybe, because there's a rumor, and I don't know if this is 100% true, but there's a rumor that there was another Think and Grow Rich book that was earlier than 1937 that was published, and it only hit a few bookstore shelves before the likes of Henry Ford actually went around and stripped them all from the bookshelves. And I don't know if these two lost chapters were from that original book, or if it's two additional chapters that were supposed to be part of the final 1937 version. I don't know, but there has been a lot of rumors circulating about how the elite and the superpowers at that time simply did not want people to know this information about how self-made people truly became self-made millionaires at that time. I don't know if there was any billionaires then, but millionaires at that time, they did not want the common man or woman to know, because otherwise what would happen to their factories? They would have no employees. They would have no one to work for them to build their own empires, and so they didn't want anybody to know this information at that time. So I want to lean heavily into that conspiracy theory, because I honestly believe that that's true. Still to this day, I believe it's true, but in a different kind of way. You have social media and all these other conglomerates that are controlling the mind and time of your average man and woman to the point of complete distraction, even altering their psyche states purposely and maliciously for the purpose of control, and it's just a different way than it was in 1937. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of truth to that conspiracy theory, to be honest with you, because even though it might have been a little far-fetched for 1937, so was the topic of sex transmutation, if you read that chapter in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. That was kind of an oddball-y thing, too, and they left that in there, you know? So why would you leave something like that in there but not leave the rest of it? It's just kind of weird in a conspiracy type of way.
I mean, that's really an outrageous kind of concept, even for now. It is.
Oh, it is.
But
yeah,
yeah. But for then, I mean, everybody. I mean, like I said, they would have thrown him into an asylum. so he was definitely tapping into infinite intelligence and getting this information. He said that raising our vibrations with a clear conscious state of mind must never falter, but for a single moment, maintaining the state of mind known as burning desire to win, and he capitalizes that, which is essential to success. So what do you think he means by this burning desire to win?
Well, the burning desire, the part of what I had issues with when I was first, because I actually typed out the entire original Think and Grow Rich when I was doing research for the two lost chapters and putting everything together. And that's when I realized a lot of what looked like it could have been complete thoughts were kind of watered down. So it's almost like it was edited out on what I truly meant about a lot of different things. But he seemed to miss the mark when it came to burning desire, because burning desire, I mean, it might have been pretty cut and dry back then in the 30s, where people really wanted to get ahead financially or they had more straightforward, focused goals. But nowadays, I don't know if you notice, but it's hard for most people to have a very streamlined, definite goal. And, I mean, there's so much distraction, there's so much stuff going on in the media that it's just very difficult for most people to even figure out what they want, let alone to have a burning desire. And so for him, without that burning desire, it's not enough just to have a mere mediocre desire. You have to really want something more than anything else, to the point where you feel it in the pit of your gut. And unless you have that, likely you're not going to reach the goal or the desire that you're looking for. So that's why he's putting it in caps, because it's like if you don't get what burning desire means, then likely you're not going to be able to attain any of your mediocre or lukewarm desires that you have.
And not and as you said, it's difficult to find what your burning desire is. I would say that most people don't have that. Most people don't strive for something that big. They strive for maybe day to day. They may strive to, you know, have enough money to get through or pay their rent or whatever. And they can't get past that because life is so challenging, as you said. And there's just so much information out there that it's really hard to grab that. But when you do have it, you know, that's, I think he's saying that we really should focus on that, you know, more than anything else. He said the idea factory inside your mind becomes more awake and receptive to new vibrations, that of which a new environment can offer. These ideas, when they appear, will usually rush into your mind in the form of sudden inspiration, and that they are direct messages from infinite intelligence and are of the utmost importance, which means you must act upon them as soon as you receive them. He's channeling. He's pulling in information, isn't he?
Oh, he is, you know, but backing that up just a little bit more, a lot of people that don't know what they want in life, this is part of aligning with the Nova, kind of like what the Steven Tyler dream suggested, is that until you actually align with what you truly want to do and be in life, you're never going to get that streamlined, full alignment and connection with the source energy. So, you know, you have to figure out a way to do that. And the only way that I know of is to raise your vibrational energies. And then thus, even if you don't know today what you want to be when you grow up, so to speak, when you raise your vibrational energies, and by the way, I suggest going out into nature for a couple days, unplugging from social media, and maybe even shutting off your phone for 2 days. But just immersing yourself into nature helps out a lot, immensely. And so you do this. You raise your vibrational energy using the techniques that I outline in the book, and then all of a sudden you'll start to now know what you want to be and do and what you want to align with and what your true purpose is. You start to get back to source energy and your true purpose of why you're here, and it's through these now thoughts, these ideas of inspiration that'll just come swarming into your brain all of a sudden from nowhere when you do raise your vibrational energy. So even if you don't know what you want to do right now, the second you raise your energies, those ideas will come to you almost immediately. And you need to write them down, and even more importantly, take immediate action on those thoughts and ideas of inspiration.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. What are some other ways we can raise our vibrational energy?
So there's several ways to do it. I mean, aside from nature, which is always the best, but doing deep breathing exercises for about 10 to 15 minutes a day, ideally in the morning in a meditative state. So, you know, this goes back to quieting the mind. I have such difficulty with that because I'm already a type A personality. So quieting the mind for more than 3 seconds is just not a doable thing for the most part for me. But I've actually meditated with my eyes open, and I can do that when I'm looking at the ocean or something like that, you know, a bubbling brook or something, where I'm just sitting there in a peaceful state looking at the butterflies or whatever flying around, and I can actually meditate with my eyes open, and I can actually clear my thoughts that way. So you might be one of those people where maybe looking at a fountain for 10 minutes while doing deep breathing exercises, if you're unable to close your eyes and meditate, sometimes keeping your eyes open and fixed in one neutral area is also a doable option as well, but raising your vibes. And so doing the deep breathing, the deep belly breathing for 10 to 15 minutes a day, until the point where you actually feel like you're tingling in your head and in your fingers, that is the ultimate as far as raising your vibrational energy. It's free, it's very simple, it's easy to do, doesn't take that much time, and then you could set yourself up positively for the rest of the day, even working its way into how you interact with other people and how other people will come into your life and react to you. It changes everything.
So what exactly is happening, or what do you think is happening when we, you know, he talks about, you know, how molecules attract molecules and create the solids that we see, and that, you know, our thoughts are the same. So how do you see that this whole process happening with vibration?
Well, first of all, the things that you think are real are really not as real as you think they are. And the more attention that you give to them gives it the realism that it doesn't really deserve to get. So, for example, if you're living a lifestyle that you don't like, maybe you're down and out or living on the street, you know, just the mere immersion of those thoughts in your environment makes it the reality. Because if you think about it, just by simply raising your vibrational energies, your whole life can turn around in a fraction of a second if you allow it to. But because your belief system is so much in the gutter, it becomes the reality of your life. And so the awesome part about being able to raise your vibrational energy is that you can actually have new thoughts of high vibration that could immediately convert itself into a more of a solid or physical state, which could then reflect in your outer environment. So, for example, say you are homeless, and then you say you do actually start the process of doing the deep breathing exercises, raising your thoughts into the positive, and trying to keep into that state of being. I mean, you're not going to be able to do it 24/7 because, listen, reality is reality, you know. So sometimes things happen in our life and it kind of dips our energy, and that's just how things work. You don't beat up yourself for that. You just keep moving forward. And so if you are homeless and you start to raise your vibrational energies, you never know. There might be someone who decides to take you on as a charity case, and it's someone who rolls up in a Rolls Royce and says, you know what, that's the homeless person I want to work with and do this, you know, real estate investing program with to support my new book that I have coming out. You know, you don't know what can happen to change and alter your reality just instantly by simply changing your internal reality first. And so that's essentially how it works.
Wow. That's incredible. Do you think that determination is the same thing as burning desire?
No, I don't. Because burning desire is more of a natural process into aligning to your purpose and your higher spirit. But if you are determined, it might be in a profession that you simply aren't aligned with. I mean, you might be determined to get through med school, but that's because your parents wanted you to. So, you know, it's not really truly in alignment unless it's part of your NOVA or your purpose that you came here to do and be. So I don't think it's the same thing at all.
Yeah, no, I agree, you know, the way that you explain that really well. What else do you want to tell us about Napoleon Hill or the Lost Chapters? Is there something that you want to tell us that I haven't brought up?
Negativity, being in a negative environment, whether it's self-induced or something that other people are projecting onto you, you have to exit from those negative environments immediately. That's what Chapter 16 talks about, the other missing chapter. And it's probably one of the things that wasn't as popular in the 30s because people were very family-oriented. And he actually says, you know, you might actually have to cut out close friends and family members, completely disconnect from them if they're negative in their daily content and their, you know, projected outflow of, you know, energy toward you. And so it might even be a matter of moving out of state to go from one environment to another to ultimately change your energy. But it would have to be a commitment. This has to be a commitment. You need to make the decision if you're sitting on the fence. Listen, do I want the life on the other end of the rainbow, or am I okay with where I'm at right now? And you need to make some heavy decisions sometimes, and they're not going to be comfortable. Getting rid of your best friend might not be comfortable, but it might be what's needed for you to be able to get to that higher level in your life. So there's going to be some hard decisions to make, and I think that's maybe the less sexy part of the book, is talking a little bit about cutting out the things that waste your time, like social media, you know, all of these things that are sucking your time and dragging your energy down. And that's usually not the most popular part of raising your energy, but it's definitely necessary if you want a better life for yourself.
Well, I believe all of this, and it is the way that I live my life. And I like to inspire my listeners to find this way of living in themselves. But why should they believe that this is true, that this information is true? I believe it, but why should everybody else believe it?
But because it's in line with, I think, the dirty little secret of the metaphysical and New Age business. I mean, even the book and the movie The Secret kind of cut this part out about raising your vibrational energy. They more so made it toward, you know, think great thoughts and visualize, but they didn't get the feeling aspect. Without the feeling, you don't have the ability to be able to raise your energy enough to attract the things that you want. So this is kind of like the dirty little secret of the metaphysical and New Age world, the most effective way of getting what you want that nobody ever talks about. And so because I know that now, because of my vast experience from an early, early child, that this is the way to get what you want in life by changing your vibrational energy, it's completely resonant with the truth. And getting what you need and want in life through the endless amounts of abundance that's already available to you. A lot of people don't tap into it. They go to the ocean with a teaspoon when they can go there with, you know, a semi if they want to load up. And people will purposely block themselves out of the prosperity that's available because they think that they don't deserve it, they think that they can't get it. Whatever their personal hang-up is, they allow that to disallow them from getting what they truly deserve, which is endless amounts of abundance. So this is really in alignment with the truth, and that's why I know that this is true.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. Thank you. If someone is not, you know, a lot of people have trouble with, as you talked about in the beginning, with the unseen. But as you said, and this is funny because I was taking a walk the other day and the wind was blowing in my face and I'm thinking, wow, I can really feel this, but I can't see this. How is that possible?
Right.
You know, and you brought that up. So there are so many things that we can't see that are real. And I think that people who are skeptical of the fact that just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, think about things like that, the wind and love and, you know, other things like that, to understand that there's much unseen that, you know,
right, well,
we don't.
Going back to what you said before, remember what you said as far as the billions of things that have to happen before you can even be born here, let alone even survive as long as you have to this point in your life. There's billions of behind-the-scenes things going on, and just because you can't see them or don't understand them fully doesn't mean that they don't exist, because I believe they're the most important things. And to give people even more hope is that if you feel like you're in the worst possible scenario of your life, just by simply changing the dial of how you think, it's like Napoleon Hill talks about it as like a radio dial, turning it from the negative to the positive, and not just changing your thoughts, but changing your vibration or your feeling state behind those thoughts and your intention behind those thoughts, you can change your entire life within the shortest amount of time because of the world of the unseen, which is a lot greater in size than the things that you think you know and that you can see every day.
That's such a great message to leave us with. Thank you. That's awesome. I have really, really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed the book. I've enjoyed this whole concept. I think that you must be very flattered to have been given this information. You know,
I
mean, you know, you're like, why me? Why
exactly.
Would they give
I'm still like, why me?
Right. Right. You know, but these things are given to those of us who know what to do with it. And, you know, and you obviously were the perfect person because you, as you said, your life experience and everything helped you to know what to do with this in the proper way, in the legal way and, you know, in every other way. So thank you for bringing this to us. This is fantastic information.
Thank you, Randy.
So it's been a pleasure. I wish you a wonderful day. Yes,
thank you.
It's great talking to you, Monica. Have a wonderful
day. Great talking
to you.
You too. Thank you, Randy, so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye. So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. Today we were talking about The Lost Secret with Monica Main, M-A-I-N, and so I suggest that you go pick up a copy of this. It's extremely inspirational and uplifting, so check it out. Anyway, thanks for tuning in and listening. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.